Well, today's message is entitled, Do This in Remembrance of Me. And it relates to the whole idea of communion and the Last Supper that the Lord had with the disciples and just a few insights that I think that the Lord gave to me concerning this. And just from the title itself, it's a reminder that that God wants us to not forget Him, and how we need to be able to focus and remember Him throughout our lives, because it's easy to forget. And I'm kind of getting a little bit ahead of myself, but let me try to stay on track. the whole event of the Last Supper, it took place when they were having what's called the Passover meal. And as they were celebrating the Passover meal together, it was actually basically a ceremony that the Jews celebrated, just remembering how God had freed them from Egypt. They had been enslaved by the Egyptians, and God sent Moses to deliver them. And on one of the nights when they were celebrating one of their feasts, Jesus, he took bread while they were having a meal, and he broke the bread, and he passed it to the disciples. And he said to them, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And it says later, in the same way, he took the cup and said, The cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And again, Jesus said to the disciples, Do this in remembrance of me. And I actually want to read a passage that pretty much says those exact things. It's the passage that I want to read is 1 Corinthians 11, and it's verses 23 through 26. And there are numerous other references to this whole event throughout the Gospels, but the passage in 1 Corinthians, I think, I like that one the best, because it points out how he said twice to his disciples, Do this in remembrance of me. So 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, and it reads, For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so, you know, several times, like I said, Jesus, he told them to do this in remembrance of me. And so one of my questions to you is, why do you think that Jesus told the disciples to do that, to break the bread and to take the cup in remembrance of him? And you don't have to answer, but I had a couple thoughts as to why he told them that. And the first reason I thought was because Jesus knew that he was about to be killed. And he knew that shortly after that, he would return to heaven to be with his Father. And Jesus knows or knew that often as humans, we have the mindset of out of sight, out of mind. And even his followers were prone to forget him over time. And so I think that was one of the reasons. And then secondly, I think that because Jesus knew human nature, he knew that we tend to get caught up in the here and now. And we get caught up in the busyness of life and just trying to provide for our immediate families, pursuing our careers, caring for our parents, and on and on. You know, there's so many things in this life that have to be done, and it's not wrong that we do those things, but I think what's important is we need to keep the proper perspective. We need to keep a focus on the Lord as to whatever we're doing in life. And so, an example of how we as humans are prone to forget the Lord is a passage in Psalms 106, and it's verses 7 through 22, and I'd like to read that for you. And so last time I spoke, I forgot to put my sticky pads in the Bible so I could get to the passage. I remembered this time, so so Lord willing, I'll be able to get to the passages a little bit quicker. So, but anyway, Psalms 106, verses 7 through 22. And it reads, "When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses. And they rebel by the sea, the Red Sea. Yet he saved them for his name's sake, to make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea, and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe, from the hand of the enemy he redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed his promise and sang his praise. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave in to their cravings. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. In the camp, they grew envious of Moses and of Aaron, who was consecrated to the Lord. The earth opened up and swallowed Dathan. It buried the company of Abiram. Fire blazed among their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. At Horeb, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. They exchanged their glorious God for an image of a bull who eats grass. They forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt, miracles in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea." So, you know, in that passage, three times it says that they forgot, you know, in spite of the fact that God had done great things for them, they forgot. And so we as believers need to be regularly reminded of who God is and what he has done for us so that we don't make the same mistake of forgetting God as the Israelites did. And in fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we're exhorted by the Apostle Paul. He says, "To present our bodies as living and holy sacrifices to God, to not be conformed to the world or this world." He said, the thought is we shouldn't be sucked into the mold of the world. You know, the world has a system of living that it can drain the life out of you, and it can turn you from seeking God and focusing on God and remembering God. So Jesus, knowing our tendency to easily forget, he gave us a simple but awesomely powerful means to remember him, and that was through communion. And so the symbol of the bread being broken represents Jesus' body being broken for us. And in Matthew 27, verses 26 through 31, it tells us that Pilate sent Jesus to be scourged or whipped and delivered to be crucified. Then in Psalms 22, verse 16, it says, "For dogs have surrounded me, a band of evildoers have encompassed me. They pierce my hands and my feet." Then in Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by scourging, and by his scourging, we are healed." Then the symbol of the cup being shared by all represents Jesus' blood being shed on our behalf for the forgiveness of our sin. And in Matthew 26:27-28, it says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is to be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sin.'" And God's righteousness demands death as a consequence of our sins. And Jesus had to die. Jesus died for our sins and presented his blood to the Father as a satisfactory payment. And in the book of 1 John, it says that that Jesus' death, it was a satisfactory payment for our sin. And in Hebrews, it talks about other offerings that were presented to God, like the blood of bulls and goats was presented to God, and it really was a shadowing of what Jesus was going to do, because the blood of bulls and goats can't take away the sin of man. God's standard of righteousness demanded death. And it says in Romans that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And if you have a chance, you can go back and read the scripture in Hebrews 10, and it's verse 4 through 7 and verse 12. But it just explains how Jesus had to shed his blood in order for our sins to be paid for. Nothing else would satisfy God. So I believe that remembering that Jesus' body was broken and his blood was poured out on our behalf, I think that those are the main things that God wants us to remember when we have communion. However, it should also be a time of personal reflection. It gives us an opportunity to not only consider what God has done in our lives, but also it gives us an opportunity to remember what he is currently doing in our lives. And when we remember what God has brought us through, our souls can only help but rejoice. And I'm reminded of the song. It says, How I got over. My soul looks back and wonders how I got over. I know for myself that even though I didn't consider myself to be that bad compared to my neighbor, but the truth of the matter is that I was a sinner just like everybody else. And it was only by the grace of God that he brought me out of the darkness and placed me into the light and brought me into a relationship with him, because I was trying to do everything else I could to find fulfillment in life. And I know Brother Michael was talking about how he was doing some pretty bad things, and I don't think I was too far behind him. But like I said, in the Word it says that all of us have sinned, that we all fall short of God's glory. But by the grace of God, he brings us into the light. He brings us into a relationship with Him, and we can walk in His truth. We can walk in His light. So the final couple things that I want to talk about, as far as our relationship with Him, it's important to remember that that God wants to have a relationship with us. He desires to have a relationship with us. And at the point that we receive Him into our lives, it's really just the beginning. It's the beginning of an eternal relationship with Him. And I know Pastor always talks about the relationship with the Lord, and that really is the most important thing. You know, we can do all kinds of other things. We can go to church. I heard somebody say one time, we can go so often that they think that we're the janitor. You know, but it's not about doing religious things. It's about a relationship, coming into a living relationship with the living God. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, is probably a very well-known verse to many of you, but it says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, and they are plans for good and not for calamity, and it's to give you a future and a hope." And then in Hebrews, in chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me?" And so that really is the crux of what I wanted to say. And but I know that, you know, I was talking with my wife, and she, bless her, that she helped me to go over my message, and she pointed out a couple things to me, and she was gracious to type it up, and as we were talking, one of the things that I mentioned, I said, you know, one of the things that I have come to understand over the years about communion and breaking bread is realizing that all of us are responsible in some ways for Jesus' death. And the reason that is true is because of the fact that we all have sinned. And the only reason that Jesus had to die was to pay for our sin. So in one sense, we are all responsible for Him having to die. And yet, you know, at the same time, it in that passage in Hebrews, it talks about that he was happy to do it. He looked forward to the fact that he was going to be able to have a relationship with us. And he was willing to lay down his life. In fact, it talks about it, said, you know, all those other sacrifices, God wasn't pleased with them. It wasn't enough in order to pay the price for us to have that relationship with the Lord. But it says that God prepared a body for him that he might come to do his will. And so when Jesus came, he willingly laid down his life and gave his life, gave his blood on our behalf so that we could be forgiven of our sin and have an everlasting relationship with the Father. So thank God for that. Praise God for that. And I know it's a little bit of a short message, but I hope that the Lord has used it to speak to you in some way and to be able to meet a need. And I know that we're going to take some time today to have communion. So as the bread and the cup are passed around, take a little time to reflect on what God has done and what He is doing in your life, and just to be able to thank Him for all the things that He has done in our lives. Amen. Amen.